I don't know you. I probably have met you, haven't met you, but there's one thing I do know about you. Or maybe because it's something I know about myself, that I want a good life. Some people call it a soft life. But I know that you want to live an amazing, incredible life. When you imagine and think about your life, hardship does not enter that sentence, because you want to live a great life. You want to climb valleys and mountains that you thought you would never reach. You want to reach highs so high that you wish you could go back to those specific times. You want to reach joys that are so hard to explain, that make your heart pound. You want to live a great life. Or maybe I'm speaking about myself, that I want to live an amazing life. And maybe the reason why me and you want to live a great life, a successful life, is because we want to be part of a good story. There's something about human beings. There's something about us that get us attached to stories. Stories have something. They tell us about the world, but also, most importantly, tell us something about ourselves. But the reason why me and you want to be part of a good story, or of our lives to be great, is because deep down inside, we want to be part of a good story. You see, human beings are driven by stories, because stories have an ability to tell something, to tell us something about the world, but also stories have an ability to tell us about ourselves. There's something about stories that make me and you connect. You want your story, the story of your life, to be filled with victories. You want your story to be filled with overcoming things that many people haven't achieved. You want your story to see the impossible happen right in front of your eyes. We want to live in a story that has a good ending. A story that when the credits start to roll about our lives, we can see our names written in bold. We all want to be part of a good story. We all want to be part of a good story because we want our story to tell us and other people that we are not the villains, but ultimately, we are the victors. We want to tell people, or we want the story of our lives somehow to show that we were not the perpetrators, but somehow we were the protectors. We all want to say about our lives that it's not about how you started, but ultimately how you finish. And so it begs the question, what story are you living in right now? I mean, is your story made out of wanting to be better? You want your story to be better. You want to overcome things that the previous generations didn't overcome. You want your story to be about how you have victories that other people didn't have. You want your future to be so bright that people can't even somehow determine how your family lineage look like. You want to break curses, generational curses. You want to be the first one who's made it out. But somehow, you forget that in your pursuit of wanting to be better, that you could be running so much away from the thing that you hate that you end up attracting it. Or your story could be this, that you want to be successful. I mean, you want to be number one, not number two or number three, the type of person who reaches the top, who reaches the pinnacle of life, the pinnacle of your career. You want to do well. There's a deep desire within you of reaching the top. But somehow, you forget. Or somehow, you don't really grasp the fact that your heart is so attracted and so in love with success that somehow, when people make it and you don't, you can't even say, congratulations, I see you. Or your story could be, you know what? I'm wanting to do all these amazing things that I want to do, but I miss the mark that I've set for myself. Like, I really want to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but I miss the mark, because somehow you find yourself at the inner tension of opposite desires. Love, or is it lust? Is it honesty, or is it somehow saving face? Is it honesty or not telling the full truth? I just want to save myself in this situation. Or is it self-control or self
indulgence. I mean, to seem okay, but deep down, you were drowning in the tears that you can't tell people about because you missed the mark that you can't even reach, that you have set for yourself. Because sometimes, if we are honest, if I'm really honest, you feel like giving up. In many moments and many times, you feel like life is not worth it because you're becoming the enemy that sometimes you warn people about. You see, me and you are living in a story. But today, the invitation is to be part of a different story. You see, the greatest story ever told, but hardly ever told, God. God, the maker of earth. And somehow you have a story. Somehow you are writing it. You have an ability to take your pencil and at this very moment in time, you are living it out. But God is writing his story and in his amazing mercy and grace, he is inviting you in it. You have a story. You are writing it. But God is writing a grand story. And I don't know how, but he's inviting people like me and people like you. You see, when it comes to God or when it comes to Jesus, or even sometimes how you view the church, many people could view it in many different ways, but sometimes people view Jesus as just, as kind of me and Jesus, right? Like Jesus has come onto this earth to save me. Like Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. Or some people can view, you know, Jesus or God as somebody to coming to liberate us, to give us the things that we never had, to take us to places that we have never got to, that Jesus is here to change our earthly situations. You see, me and you can view the message of Jesus or the message of who God is as something that has been done or something that we need to do. In trying to understand this, we have to ask a very pivotal question. What would it look like if God was running the show? What would it look like? I mean, what would it look like if God was running the world? If God was running your world? You see, Jesus comes in Matthew 4 and he says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Begs the question, what is the kingdom of God and how can our stories be shaped by its commander? Because me and you end up becoming the kings and the queens of our own stories. I mean, you set your own rules. You do what you want, when you want, however you want. It's your feelings who rule and tell you what to do, how to feel about yourself and how to think about the world. I mean, it might be true for you, but it might not be true for me. Me and you can get so offended when somebody does not agree with us, but we expect other people to agree with us. Because somehow we have realized that we can set the path and the trajectory of our lives and we have final say. And that's why I think Jesus has a better story. Jesus has a different way and a different route for our lives. What is this good news of the kingdom that Jesus is speaking about? It's the fact that God is launching himself into public and saying, this is what God looks like in the world. That the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is what God in reality looks like in your world, in your family, in your relationship, in society, in politics, in economics. That the kingdom of God is this amazing kind of blanket that says, all of this is mine and I rule it. But obviously it says, hey, I rule it, but I want you to be part of it. And the reason why this is good news is because it shows us and it tells us that there is hope for humanity, that me and you can have better days, even though our past is so dark. That this is good news, that we have a way out. It's not the end for humans. That we are writing our stories, and our stories are going in ways and in places that me and you can't even explain. But the God of the universe has come down to earth and saying, join my story. This is good news that your past, the stuff that you do, I know it and I love you. Come and be part of me. This is good news. Good news is the fact that there is a better way and we don't get to do it alone, that he is with us in that way. You see, this is good news because it is about his kingdom, because my life and your life is always about you or about me, that he is speaking of his kingdom and he is ruling it. It's his throne. It's his world. And he sits on that throne. Friends, that is good news. I could take you back to just a couple years, maybe just a couple moments, and think about the one thing that you desired with everything that's inside of you. I wonder if you'd look at me now and you'd tell me, if I got that very thing that I wanted, would I actually be happy? Me and you have to be honest and say, we're not that great at this life thing. But the beauty of this good news is the fact that we've got a king who is ruling and wants to do this with us, in and through us. But if there's good news, there has to be bad news. And the bad news is that me and you need to let go. The bad news is that me and you need to let go, because the good news is the fact that we can only find true peace and fulfillment in God. And so if true peace and fulfillment is found in God, then we need to let go of the places where we find fulfillment and we go and try get cheap peace. That the good news is the fact that we can find it in Jesus, but we need to let go of the things that we hold on to that give us peace. But sometimes tomorrow morning, it's not there. That give us fulfillment, but it's never enough. That give us respect, but it's never enough. And see, this is why when Jesus prays or teaches his disciples how to pray, he says, thy kingdom come on earth. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because in our world, we use our privilege, we use the connections we have, we use our power to get things done the way that we want to get things done. See, the world uses its power and its tyranny. But somehow in Jesus, we find that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came and gave his life as a ransom for many. The kingdom will come, or we will be the people of God, through laying down everything and loving. The kingdom will come through the all-conquering power of self-giving love. Love and love. You see, those who have tasted the goodness and the grace that comes from encountering and seeing this Jesus, give it back. You see, God being king, God ruling and reigning means that he is with us and wants us to rule in every sphere of society by loving. By not ruling and using our earthly power, wisdom, and prestige to do the things that we want to, but loving. Putting everything else aside and loving. You see, because for God to truly rule and for God to truly reign, of which he is, he needs us. And it's always, for me, fascinating how he invites us to be part of that. And so what would it look like if somehow the church was running the show? I understand the kingdom of God. I understand everything about what Jesus has done. But what would it look like if the church was running the show? For us to be the people that God has called us to be, we know that the church is his plan A. It's not his plan B that he came to establish his church. You see, we get to know Jesus as individuals. He impacts us and touches us in ways that me and you can't even understand, but we participate as communities. We participate as communities who love this Jesus, that even though we have been touched, even though me and you have a testimony, we participate as communities. We participate as communities because the kingdom works when Jesus-loving communities do the work. Because it's not about me and you. It's the fact that together, that God is living and is writing a grand story and how we all get to be part of it. You see, hence, Peter writes the scripture. And I was speaking to a friend just today, and we were speaking about this particular verse, and we were speaking about the character of Peter. And how Jesus is asking Peter, like, do you love me? And then he says, like, go and feed my sheep. But somehow the same Peter is writing this verse in 1 Peter 2 from verse 9 to 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So many great things here, but it always makes me ask, if somehow God is running the show, and now I'm asking the question, what would it look like if the church was partnering with God and running the show? Why is our world so broken? Because God's rescue operation is an act of love. That God is interested in the broken places of society. God is interested in the broken places of your life. God is interested in the broken places of our community. And we know that God's rescue operation is an act of love. That God actually is a loving God and wants to heal those broken places, communities, and parts of the world. But I mean, the church, I mean, why do I even need to believe in it? Why do I need to even attend it? Because if me and you are honest, the church has many edges. It has many leaks. The church is broken, but God is fixing it, and he's fixing it with you. That friends, me and you are on a process. And somehow God wants us to believe in the church because he believes in us. And so as God is working in us, we know that he will build his church, not our churches, but his church. And so that's why we can have hope in the church, because we know that God is working in us. You see, God loves the church. I think God loves the church because he loves us, because we are the church. Because, I mean, I don't know why, because the church is made up of silly people. It's made out of broken people who don't get things right. It's the fact that Jesus still believes in this thing. It's because we love him, and the fact that because we are walking alongside of him and loving him, he will continue working in it. And it's always amazing how the plan A that he has for the world, he invites people that are not perfect and don't have it together. That the church is made out of silly, broken people, people that are not famous, people that are not elite, and somehow God works in it. That you don't have to have it all together to work in his kingdom. The invitation is there. You see, God's rescue operation is an act of love. God's rescue mission is that Jesus-loving communities who love the world radically can change the world. But God's rescue mission is that Jesus-loving communities who love the world can radically change the world. Not people of power, people of prestige, people who have it all together, but it's the fact that God's rescue mission is that Jesus-loving communities, the church, can radically change the world. As in the Sermon of the Mount, we see that God's rescue mission, his heart to transform the world and to establish his sovereign and saving rule over it. He doesn't send in tanks. He doesn't send in people that are famous, but he actually sends in the poor. He sends in the meek. He sends in the one that have broken hearts and broken spirits. And he says those people are the people who will change the world because somehow God is changing them. But also the invitation is open for all of us. Somehow, God invites us to join him in his work. It's like he whispers into the world that he does not want to do this without us. Friends, believe in the church. And for us to do the purposes that God has for this world, we have to be people of the kingdom. We have to be people of God. The apostle Peter says you are a chosen people. It speaks of you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. It's the fact that we are God's people called to act in the ways of God. But also, not just that, he leaves it. He doesn't just leave it at that because obviously Jesus has come to save us, but now he's called us for something bigger, calls us God's special possessions, that you might what? Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, that we have to sing God's praises, that for us to be the people of God, we have to sing the praises of God. But not just that, we do it for the purposes of God, for us to be light into this world. Because the Apostle Peter finishes this way, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And how when we've tasted the light of who God is, we get to be light in the world. You see, it's God's people called to sing God's praises for God's purposes. Remember, God made a beautiful world. And our forefathers asked, did God really say? Their disbelief made them be their own gods. God is on a rescue mission, and he calls me and you to join him in what is already happening. Would you partner with him in his mission and being the church? Father, thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for what you are doing in the world. Thank you that you've called us your people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. I pray that we may believe it. That, Father, you call us your own, that we are chosen and loved. I pray that by your Spirit you may empower us. I pray that by your Spirit you may give us boldness and you may give us courage for everything that you call us to be. May our world, may our communities not be the same because we have tasted and we know who our God is. In your beautiful and wonderful name, amen.
Hey family, thank you again for tuning in. I trusted that word spoke to you. Thank you again to Lukolo for sharing such a powerful word. Hey, before you go, I want to remind you of two things. We have connect groups running throughout the city, and if you want to get plugged in to one of those, sign up today for a connect group. What is a group? Well, simple. It is a place where other people alongside, hopefully you, get to come together and grow in knowing God together. I genuinely believe it is hard to follow God alone. We're actually designed to do it together. So groups are an opportunity for you to engage, not just with the Sunday content, but more importantly, do life with other people as you grow in knowing God and making him known. Sign up for a group today. Also, we have Pathways. It happens every single Sunday. If you, as you've been listening to this, are going, I want to take my next step in following Jesus. It might be you've never followed Jesus before, or you've been following Jesus for a while and you feel like you're stuck, you're stagnated, you feel like you want to lay deeper foundations in your walk with God. Pathways is meant for you, and it is meant for that, designed for that. So sign up for Pathways. One of our leaders will be in touch with you during the week and connect you to our Pathways, which happens every Sunday online, on Zoom, 2 p.m., and I know that you will enjoy. Well, all that being said, I want to leave you with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you shalom.